Lord, we thank you that you are a way maker. We thank you, Lord, that you're light in the darkness. Oh, we love you, God. You are the light of the world. We bless you, God. Many great people and great men and women, but none could claim that they are the light of the world. Thank you, God, for being the light in the darkness. Thank you for exposing the darkness. God, thank you for living in us. And then you passed the baton to us and said, we are the light of the world, that we are to let our light shine so others might see the good works in us and glorify you in heaven. So we thank you, God. Even when we don't feel that you're working, even when we don't think that you're working, that you never stop, Lord, you never stop working. So we bless you now, Lord, and we love you. Because we serve a God that never stops working. You don't sleep. You don't slumber. You don't take a day off. You're not caught off guard. You're not caught by surprise by anything that happens. That's why we can trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path. So we thank you, and we bless you, and we love you, Lord, because you never stop working. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a few announcements this morning. Just so grateful and so thankful to be here, to be in the land of the living this morning, to be with you all this morning. So thank you for taking your time to be with us. So we have this beautiful hour of fellowship via Zoom and via Facebook Live, via live stream. So for those of you that would like to give, you'd like to return your tithe, give an offering, or make a donation, on your desktop computer, go to southbayalc.com, select the giving option, and go ahead and give today. And I just want to personally thank you all for your giving. God says it is more blessed to give, more blessed to give than it is to receive. And God loves a cheerful giver. You know, here at South Bay, we never play games, tricks, gimmicks, no drama for giving, none of that. As God has blessed you, give. If you know that God has blessed you, then you return your tithe and you give an offering so you don't shut off the windows of heaven that God will open up and pour us out a blessing that we won't have room to receive. And there's many of us can testify of the goodness of God as far as our giving is concerned. If you want to give on your cell phone, go to southbayalc.com on your cell phone. Click the three bars on the right-hand side, select the giving option. And then again, if you're like me and you just like to write that check and mail it in. You can mail it to South Bay Abundant Life Church, SBALC 3553, Suite B279, and that's Long Beach, California, 90807. Want to thank you all and encourage you all that have been coming to Bible study via Zoom. It's just been extremely powerful. This week we will be continuing in we'll be starting 2 Samuel chapter 13. It's a pretty deep chapter. It's incredible. You want to be there for the insights, the principles of godly living that God has been sharing with us through the word and the insights from the, I would call them the scholars that we have on Wednesday night has been commendable. So we thank God for that. Set the time aside. We really try and stick to our 6:30 to 7:30 time slot, although it says 6:30 to 8, just about an hour, and then we start wrapping it up. So it's not a lot of time, but it's so powerful. It is transformative. It will change and transform your life. And then again, if you have a prayer request or a prayer need, send your email to life@southbayalc.com. We have a team of people looking forward to praying for you because we understand that prayer is a privilege. Just like somebody prayed for us, we love praying for others because we know that God responds to the prayer of the righteous, those that are decreeing and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and living right. When we offer our prayers up, God responds to those. We confess in our sins and forsaking sin and praying for others, and God responds to the prayer of the righteous. It's in this word. It's written, and we can talk more about that at another time. I'm sure that you all have heard the declaration by the president saying that all churches are to be open immediately, and some churches are. Hey, we're open. We're just via live stream. So we are planning and preparing, but we're not going to rush back and open and put anybody's health and safety at risk. So we're all together, and we all reach out via Facebook and via telephone. And so we'll be in touch with you all as we're planning to reopen. But I would say I've talked to the board this Friday, and we're not looking at any time soon. There's still a lot. There's a lot to plan for. There's a lot of things to be put in place. There's a lot of changes that have to be made so that we can gather and congregate and worship freely and safely and be healthy. So until further notice, we're Facebook, Zoom, live stream, Sundays and Wednesdays. And when the time comes for us to open back up, you'll know with plenty of time to prepare, and we'll come here and we'll be worshiping and we'll be dancing and we'll be shouting together. So until further notice, we're going to continue to do what we do as we plan and prepare to follow the guidelines to open back up to make sure that we're all safe and healthy. So with that being said, I'm ready to get into the word, but I do want to just pray corporately for those of us, remember, that are praying and fasting. We have our first meal after service. So I just want to pray corporately, really quickly, and then we're going to jump right into words. The word, so much to share this morning. You're going to be so blessed by the word. I guarantee it. Only way I can guarantee it is because it's the word of God. And it shall not return void, but it will accomplish that which God sent it to do. It is a transforming word this morning. And I'm so blessed to be able to share it with you. So let's just pray, and then we'll get right into the word. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Lord, as we're praying and fasting, God, we're just praying for health. We're praying for safety. We're praying for leadership, Lord. We're praying for wisdom, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're praying for our leaders, our state leaders, our city leaders, Lord, our local leaders, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're praying for them. Cover them. Give them wisdom, God. We need some wisdom right now at the local level, at the state level, Lord. Lives are at stake. Families are in jeopardy, Lord. So we're just praying, God, for godly wisdom. Give us discernment, Lord, so we will know what to do and what not to do. You said, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths. Lord, we're trusting you. We need you. Lead us, God. Direct us, God. Give us the wisdom. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, so we will know exactly what to do and what not to do. And so we will be right in the place where God wants us to be each and every day. Pray for our national leaders, our president, the cabinet. Will the godly speak up, Lord, and give godly advice, godly wisdom, Lord? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Lord. Let them speak up and give wisdom from on high, not man-made wisdom. We don't need man-made wisdom. We need godly wisdom in these days, Lord. So we love you and we bless you. And that's what we're praying and fasting for, praying for every family. We're praying for marriages, praying for singleness, praying for kids, Lord, praying for grandkids and parents and siblings, Lord, praying for our families, Lord, healing, God, in the name of Jesus, physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual healing. Heal the broken heart. Heal the broken mind. Heal the infirm body, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Asking that your hand be on our family and friends and loved ones for good and not for evil, God. So we're just asking for direction and guidance and healing, Lord. We just need you today more than ever. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, God, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, dead, dying, and decaying world. God, we need your light today more than ever. Oh, we love you, God. Speak to us through your word. Bless your word, Lord. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. God, we need you. God, we love you. God, we bless you. Speak now, Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, family, open your Bibles. We're going to be all over the place this morning. Those of you that have been with South Bay Abundant Life Church for a while, you know that I say that I'm all over the place, and It's hard for me to stay focused when I get into this word, but let's start at Acts 16, verse 25. As we continue the series, The Good Shepherd, well, actually the series, the I Am series, and within the I Am series, we're at I Am the Good Shepherd, as Jesus Christ states. And so we're looking at the life of Paul, and Paul was talking about prayer, which led us to Acts 16 and 25, when Paul and Silas were incarcerated for taking a stand for the gospel, beat, humiliated, stripped of their clothes, and put into the inner prison and start praying and singing praises. So the title here is probably part three or part four. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. But it's singing, it's suicide and salvation. We talked about the singing, the great Hallel. We're kind of right in between now, the guard who wanted to kill himself and salvation that's coming through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? In our toughest times and our darkest hour, God still provides mercy and grace and love and salvation. Where it looks like it's no way out, here comes the grace of God, the mercy seat of God. So as you're at 16 and 25, it reads in, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang unto God, sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled or the prisoners had escaped. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, 'Sirs,' brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' Verse 31, they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house.' Verse 32, and they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Verse 33, and he took them to the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Verse 34, and when they had brought him into his house, he set meat or food before them and rejoiced, trusting in God with all his house, singing suicide and salvation, as only God can do it. Where it looks like it's just the no way out, the toughest situation and circumstance. Family, be encouraged. God is there. God has never left. God has always been there. Just like our times now, God uses certain circumstances and situations to get our attention, to bring us back to him. Well, we come in trembling and falling down and asking God, God, how can I be rescued from all this that's going on? Look at verse 29. That's where we're going to start today. It says, then the jailer called for a light and sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. So a lot to read this morning. And here's the revelation starting off. He called for a light and received true sight. You should have that. He called for a light. He was talking about a physical light, but they gave him spiritual light. Remember, Jesus Christ is decreed and declared. He's the light of the world. Hear me, family. I want you to take notes on this. He called for a light and received true light and life. He called for a light, but he received true light and true life. But here's the other revelation within the revelation. God not only gave him sight, but God gave him a vision and a purpose for living. Here's this gentleman, here's this jailer who's getting ready to kill himself. And in the midst of his darkest hour, God gives him the light of Christ through Paul and through Silas. But not only that, he now gives him, sometimes we just have sight, but pray, God, give me vision for the godly purpose and plan you have for my life. I just don't want sight. I want vision from God. Make a note, family. It's in Proverbs 29 and 18. It says, where there is no vision, where there is no insight from God, the people perish. The people just live any kind of way. So here's this gentleman, the jailer, getting ready to end his life because he thinks it's over. God gives him purpose. God gives him a vision for his family. Not only did he get saved, but his whole family got saved. In the midst of the craziest situation that he's ever experienced, hear what I'm saying. Pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, don't just give me sight, Lord, but give me vision. Give me your vision. Give me the purpose and the plan. God, let me see it that you have for my life. In the name of Jesus, family, come on now. That's your prayer. Add that to your prayer list in the mornings and God will do it. Pray that God will give you godly vision so you can see the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Family, call for the light. Run to the light and run to Christ. God had to humble this gentleman until he got to the point where he realized that he wasn't in control of his life. He humbled himself and then he was able to receive the light. So for those in your family who think they are in control and think they own something and think they're in control of something, pray that God would humble them. Pray that God would be merciful as he humbles them and then they would run to the light. Comes a time where all the preaching and the browbeating stops, and then we just go into prayer for those that we love because we know what God can do. Christ is the light of the world. Christ, let me say it again, Christ is the light of the world. We need him desperately. So the question I ask, who is your light? Who's your light? Think about that. Who is your light? And I would say that the Lord has to be your light. The Lord has to be your light. And when you talk about light is your happiness, it's your daybreak, it's your instruction. Who's your happiness? Where do you get your instruction from? Who's your daybreak? Who allows things to break forth within you? I'm saying that has to be the Lord. Listen carefully, family. I'm saying the Lord has to be your light. Everything else adds to your light. Everything else is a benefit of the Lord being your light. I've heard people say that their spouse or their kids are their light. Their job is their light, their business, their ministry. I'm saying the Lord should be at the top. Everything else is the benefit of the Lord being your light. Amen. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love what God allows me to do, but it's not my light. My light is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He lives in me. He makes everything else possible. Without the light of God, I'm living in darkness. And living in darkness, let me make it clear. When you live in darkness, all you do is allow your dreams to become nightmares. Until you get into the light of Christ, then it's able to spring forth. And God can make those dreams come true, the godly dreams come true that he's already placed in you. Pastor, you're talking a lot. I know. Turn to Psalms 27. Let's make it plain. The word can say it better than I can. Psalms 27 and verse 1. And I ask you again, who's your light? Think about it. What's your light? This jailer, he thought the job was his light. He found out it wasn't. He thought his strength, he thought being a soldier, he thought being a trained military guard was his light. He found out it wasn't. And when he found out it wasn't, he went into despair and depression and desperation, was going to kill himself because he found out that stuff can never be your light. Because all those other lights go out. The only light that doesn't go out is the light of Christ. It's the only one that doesn't fade. The only one that doesn't get extinguished. The only one that doesn't get blown away. When the storms and the winds come, all the other lights will go out. So here we are in Psalms 27, 1. It says, the Lord is my light. This is David speaking. Underline this. This is so powerful. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Underline this. Put a star by it. Highlight it. Whatever you need to do. This is one you wake up to every morning. Before you get into the news and all this other kind of stuff that's giving you symptoms of the systemic sin that we live in, that we talked about last week, the systemic sin, you see the symptoms, it's all on the news. Let your foundation be, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David decrees and declares, this is the God that he serves. God is our light. This is what Paul and Silas was decreeing and declaring. The Lord is the strength of my life. Make a note of it. And that's why Paul and Silas, in their toughest times, they're able to sing praises to God. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because the Lord is the strength of his life. You and I, we can do, those of us in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why? Because the Lord is the strength of my life. And it's a difference between it being on the page and then when you have to live through COVID-19 and anything else. Who's your light? Who's your salvation? Who's the strength of your life? You found out that your job is not the strength of your life. Your ministry is not the strength of your life. It can be shut down. It can be taken away. God can never be taken away. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So think about this. Here's Paul in jail. How can Paul decree and declare this when he's in jail? See, because when it's going good, you can say things, but until you're tested in the toughest times and situations, you don't know who your light is. You don't know what's your salvation. You don't know where your strength comes from. And then you're walking around afraid. I'm telling you, family, commit Psalms 27:1 to memory. Let me just go back to Paul for a minute. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can Paul say that? Let me tell you why Paul can say it. Because Paul was in jail, amen, singing praises. He was beat. He was humiliated. At one point, Paul was stoned and left for dead. He went through many trials, literally and figuratively. He was on trial. He was shipwrecked. He was bit by a snake, and eventually he got his head cut off. When we were in Rome, we were going to try and take a trip to the catacombs. That's where Paul was in the catacombs, and he was trying to escape from Rome because they were going to kill him and behead him, which he knew. While he was in the catacombs, the Lord told him, you need to go back to Rome. And you need to stand for me and pay the price, the ultimate price. So Paul was in the catacombs, went back to Rome, took a stand for Christ, and was beheaded by Nero. So how can Paul say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same Paul wrote in the book of Romans 8:28, for we know that all these things happen to Paul. Paul said, we know that all things work together for good. Paul said, you can do it. You can get through it. Why? Because God is your light, your salvation, the strength of your life. Stop walking around in fear. Take a stand. This is the perfect time, family, for us to take a stand for Jesus Christ and watch God work. I said it once, I'll say it before, until you give God 100%, you'll never know what God could have did with your life in the midst of a COVID-19 or any other epidemic or pandemic or disaster or layoff or pink slip. You'll never know what God can do until you give him 100%. Something has to be your light. I would say this morning, choose Christ. When you make your job your light, it leads to despair, depression, and desperation, just like the jailer. He made his job his light. He lost his job because he's fired on the spot when prisoners escape. So there's no way out. Don't make your job. Don't make your ministry. Don't make anything else but God your light. Everything else is the benefit. You can appreciate it so much more when you realize that God is your light and everything else is a benefit of that. Look at Psalms, with Psalms 27. Okay, Paul talks about the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In verse 2, he gives us the when. He says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 2, he gives us the win. Verse 3, he gives us the what. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In verse 4, he gives us the why. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty, the delightfulness of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And then in verse 5, he gives us the how. For in the time of trouble, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, which is the rock of Christ. Paul gives us the what, the when, the what, the why, and the how, that God is his light, his salvation, his strength, nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. Commit those verses to memory. But then it gets better. Paul gives us the when and the what and the why and the how. And then in verse 13, look at verse 13, Psalms 27, 13, he tells us about the wait. Ha ha! Let me say that again. He gives us the when, the what, the why, the how. And then he gets to verse 13 and he talks about the wait. Because it takes time. Remember, we serve a God of timing. We don't serve a genie in a bottle that you rub and it pops out. What do you need? That's fiction. We serve the fact of the word, which is Jesus Christ. Listen to these words as David pens this. He says, I had fainted unless I believe to see. Let's pause right there because you just missed it. He didn't say, look the difference it would have made if he would have said, I would have fainted unless I had seen and then believed. It's a big difference. Listen, look for the wait. Look for the faith. Faith in Christ. Look what he says. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. He trusted God before he saw it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul said, I would have fell apart. I would have gave up. I would have threw in the towel if I wouldn't have trusted God and waited to see for it to happen. David is clear with this. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That means right now. I didn't give up. I didn't throw in a towel. I didn't take myself out. Because I believe, I trusted God that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living today. And then he gets to the wait, as I told you in verse 14. He says, wait. And that wait in the Hebrew means wait in faith. Wait as you trust God. Let me take off my glasses for that so you can see. It says, wait as you trust God. We want patience. We want long suffering, but nobody wants to wait for it. He says, wait as you trust God. Look what, oh, I love this. Wait on the Lord. Wait as you trust God. Wait on the Lord. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged, family. Be encouraged this morning. It's a lot going on. Voices and noises coming all around you, but wait on the Lord and be encouraged. Why? Because you're trusting God. Because he's your light. He's your salvation. He's your strength. He's your shield. He's your fortress. He's your buckler. He's your high tower and the horn of your salvation. It's all in the word. Trust God, family. I can't trust God for you. You got to trust God yourself in the midst of the struggles. Even in the midst of being blessed, you got to trust God. Wait on the Lord, verse 14. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on God to strengthen your heart. Wait on God to fortify you in the midst of whatever you're going through, good, bad, or ugly. Valley lows or mountaintop highs, you still got to trust God. It's important that you trust God when you're on top so you can be a blessing to others, so you don't think that it's you. So wherever you are in the whatever end of the spectrum, whichever way the pendulum is swinging in your life, you got to trust God and make sure he's your light. I love God being the light. And I hadn't planned on going here, but I am going to go here. It talks about how the light of God, how the light of Christ and God, it lights up everything. So I'm going to throw an audible. Amen. Let me see what time. Oh, okay. Oh, good. We got time for an audible. Please turn with me to the book of Revelation 21. Please turn with me and look at this. I want you to see this because there's so much in here. I love God for his word. And family, you all know when I'm studying, I'm all over the place and I'm excited. I'm jumping up. I can barely contain myself. As I'm in my office studying, I get so excited to share the principles of God with you, but we're still talking about the jailer calling for a light, and Paul, he just wanted a physical light, but God gave Paul and Silas so much more to give to him. And this morning, God's given us so much more than just a light. He's given us vision. He's given us purpose for living. Our life is worth living. Despite all that we're going through with the light of Christ, everything that we go through allows us to be a blessing to someone else who's going through something like we've gone through. All the trials and tribulation, even the success, the failures, it allows you to be a blessing because someone's going through what you've gone through. You need to be here. You need to give back. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let Christ be your light this morning. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Blow out the candles on the cake. The pity party's over. Stand strong. Walk in the light. Expose the darkness. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you're a liar. I'm not going to live in darkness. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in doubt. I'm not going to live in shame. I'm not going to live in condemnation. Jesus Christ is in me. He made me. He passed the baton. I'm the light of the world because Christ is in me. I'm going to let my light shine so others see the good work to me and glorify God in heaven. Stand strong, family. It's the time to stand strong on the word of God. We're not trying to get back to the beach. We're not trying to open up. We're trying to run to Christ and get the message out to a lost and dying world. They don't need to get to the beach. They need to run to Christ. They don't need to go back to their favorite restaurant. They need to start getting into the word of God. They need to run to Christ. And that's our job, to spread the good news of the gospel. Let's stay focused within the pause. Let's not get anxious. Let's not get weary in well-doing. Stand strong. Get the message out. Here we are. I say Revelation 21:21. Look at how John describes the new heaven and a new earth. And we were fortunate enough last year that we went to the island of Patmos where John wrote the book of the Revelation. We went to that island. We went into the cave where he wrote the Revelation. Obviously, with John being there and writing the book there, there's a church there now, of course. Why? Because John was there and he was witnessed the resurrection and he shared the gospel and he was exiled here and he wrote the book of Revelation. And then some scholars believe then he went over to Turkey and that's where he spent his last days. He was the only apostle that died a natural death. The other ones were crucified and killed by swords and stone. John was the only one that died a natural death. And while he was living, he wrote the book of Revelation, what God showed him of things to come. So we pick up the new heaven and the new earth in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every individual gate was of one pearl. And the street was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. It's a beautiful place. Thank you, Lord. Saying, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. It said, it's no building, it's no church building. You're just in the presence of God and Christ all day long. Thank you, Lord. And here's where I'm trying to go. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Why? Because Christ is the light of the world and the Lamb is the light thereof. They're the light now. They will always be the light. You have no need in heaven of the moon or the stars or the sun because God and Jesus are the light. Verse 24, and the nations of them, underline nations, because that's everyone. It's no discrimination. There are only those who told God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and had our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be there. Every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every kindred is written in the Word. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved, underline that. Remember, the jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? The nations of those that are saved, that are rescued, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So you do come. Remember, there are other kings. That's okay. We know that Christ is the King of Kings. don't mind giving others honor, but Jesus Christ and God is our light. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. No more shutdowns, no more shut-ins. In the name of Jesus. For there shall be no night there, it's only daytime. Family, and I'm saying, you walk in the presence of God, let the light be with you now. Although it's dark situations, it's light in them because Christ is in us. It's now and it's coming. Verse 26, I love, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, an angel writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. We'll stand before God. We don't have time to go into it today. Maybe we will another time. We'll stand before God and God will ask, is their name written in the Lamb's book of life? And if it is, then you enter into the paradise and the glory that God has for you. Let me say it again. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, take over my life, be the light in my life. Expose all the darkness, God, that's in me through the light of you that comes in me. If there's anything that's not like you, remove it. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. You ask Christ into your heart. That's what it's called being born again. And at that moment, when you sincerely mean it, and only you and God know that, people can walk down the aisle and throw their hands up and fall and spit and all that. Could be just a show. But when you really mean it, and God looks into your heart, and Christ comes into your heart because you've asked him to, because you've humbled yourself and you asked him to, there's an angel that writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. And in the midst of all your struggles and ups and downs, your name is always in that Lamb's book of life. And it's just a matter of when, it's not if, but when we transition. Remember, you only transition to two places when you leave here. You either transition to heaven or you transition to hell. Let me say it again. So only two places you transition from. Transition to when you leave here, when you leave from here. You transition to heaven or you transition to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we teach because it's in the Bible. And if your name is written in that Lamb's book of life, you transfer right into the presence of the Lord. The word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told the thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me. Jesus told him, today, we going right. Today you will be with me in paradise. It's no hold in place. It ain't no weight to it. He said, soon as you transition, you going right to paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. So here we go. It's a lot more to the story. Let's go back to the book of Acts. And family, I'm taking my time with this. I don't know when we'll finish this series, and I'm in no rush to finish the series. So much. Make a note. Make Christ the light of your life. So as we move on, make a note. Psalms 27 to your morning praying and fasting and study list. It's incredible. And stand on that each and every day. Family, I absolutely love the word of God. So here we are, verse 29. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Did I say Acts 16 and 29? I brought us back there. Amen. So look at verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Remember, we just read in Revelation, those that are saved are going to be in heaven. That's why I said, what I need to do to be saved. He thought he was talking about a physical saving. But Paul and Silas not only gave him a physical saving, they gave him a spiritual saving. And saved means to be rescued. Rescued from what? Rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We need to be rescued from that. Let me show you. Let me keep going before I get sidetracked some more. Make a note. Because of what happened on his job, we're talking about the jailer now. Because of what happened on his job, because of his current unemployment condition, because he just lost his job when they escaped, and that and doors are loosed and the shackles are loose. He just lost his job. It's over. Because of his current unemployment condition, he thought it was necessary to kill himself. Family, hear that? We have people that have lost jobs. We have people that are falling on hard times. Come on, get in Christ. Run to the light. God will do something miraculous in your life, but you got to trust him. You have to run to him just like the jailer did. Because of a temporary situation and condition. Underline that. Because of a temporary situation and condition, he thought it necessary to end his life. Come on, family. All this stuff is temporary. It's nothing permanent, but God. But eternal life. And remember, we're only transitioning to two places. Because of his temporary situation and condition, he thought his life had no more meaning or purpose. He thought he was worthless. Let me say it again. And if that's you this morning, just fall on your knees and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for reminding me how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. Regardless of this temporary job situation, whatever's going on, bills, this, that, the other, it's only temporary. Do not tie your life and your value and your worth to a job or a ministry or a business or a dollar amount. Do not do it. Tie your worth into Jesus Christ being the light of your life and the light of the world. Don't tie it into stuff. Stuff is only temporary. Then you got to go up and down, depending on how the stock market goes, how stuff goes. When you walk in the light as Christ is the light, then you know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you know that your worth and your value comes because God loves you so much that he died for you, not because of the stuff you've accumulated or the stuff you haven't accumulated or the stuff you have or the stuff you don't have or the stuff you'll never have. Never tie that to your value and your worth. Hear me, family. Hear me, young folks. Don't get caught up in that stuff. We see people every day getting caught up in temporary situations and conditions, and then think that your life has no meaning and purpose when those things crumble, because they will crumble. The only thing that's permanent is the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will live forever. So here's the revelation God gave me. It says, everything we do here on earth is temporary. I'll be before you, but then there's a time when I'll transition out of here. It's only temporary. I hope it's later than sooner, but it's just temporary. The house you own, somebody owned it before you. If you had it built, you're going to leave it for somebody else, and then they're going to come. And it's going to be temporary for them. The car you drive, at some point, is going to the junk pile heap because it's only temporary. Stop getting caught up in stuff that's temporary and tying your value and your worth to temporary stuff. It's tough, family, getting old. And those of us who are taking care of our parents who are getting older, and we see even our mind is temporary. It could come to a point where you can't even think anymore because your mind just transitions into another place. It's only temporary. Use your mind while you have it to work for Christ. Your body's temporary. It's going to transition. It's going to return to dust. Use it to work for Christ while you have it, while you yet have strength in your body. All this stuff is, God said, look, it's all temporary. Don't get caught up in this temporary stuff. Nothing is permanent. As precious as life is, it's temporary. And here it is. It's written here, Kathy, so I got to read it. It says, it's only a matter of time before we all transition to heaven or hell. Just a matter of time. And your final destination, your final place, depends on whether you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the Bible. And if you say, Pastor, well, I'm smarter than the Bible, well, then you take your chances, because I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on the Bible. And in your arrogance, if you think you're smarter than the Bible, then you live with your decision. You stand by your decision. You die with your decision. And you're going to stand before God with your decision. I'm standing on the Word of God. And I've researched the results of the resurrection. And that's where you have to start. Not with what people are saying. Research the results of the resurrection. And you'll see that Jesus Christ, when he declared and decreed that he's the light of the world, he really is the light of the world. It says, trust God each and every day of your temporary life. Let me say that again. Trust God each and every day of your temporary life. We own nothing and we control nothing. That's what keeps us humble. Because the world and things can change overnight. Trust God despite your temporary situation or condition. The only thing, make a note, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The only thing we take to heaven is other people. None of this other stuff goes. Do not tie your worth to temporary stuff. So here we go, family. Put on your seatbelt as we continue this journey. Verse 30, let me read it again for you. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What can I do to be rescued? And so here it is, family. This is what God's telling me. He says, before we answer that question, that's an important question. But God said, before we answer, what must we do to be saved? Let's answer the equally important question of, why do I need to be saved? So before you can get to the point of what do I need to do to be saved, you got to ask yourself, why do I need to be saved? Because if you don't think you need to be saved, if you don't think you need the light of Christ, if you don't think you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can look like Christ, then you'll never ask the question, what must I do to be saved? If you don't think you need to be saved, if you think I'm good the way I am, I'm not as bad as such and such, I'm not as bad as so and so, everybody does it. Why are you shaming me? It's not called shaming, it's called reality, the reality of God's word, and you're living your truth, but I'm saying you need to stand on God's truth, and you need to understand before you ask, what must I do to be saved? Why do I need to be saved? If you never think you need to be saved, you'll never have the desire to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Last week, we discussed the system of sin, our systemic sin that we're all born in. In John 3:3, it says we must be born again because we're born into a system of sin. Once Adam ate the fruit and sin entered into the world, it created a system of sin, and all other oppressive systems are a result of that. This whole world is ran by systems. God set things in place to run. God set us in place. He created us from the dust of the ground and put all these systems in us. Pastor, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Do you know you have a respiratory system inside of you? You have a skeletal system. You have a muscular system. You have a nervous system. All these systems are operating so that we can stand, so I can stand here and move and speak because the systems that God put in us. So everything is systemic. And I'm telling you, at the root of all this chaos and the racism and the lies and the cheating and the fornication and the adultery and lying and stealing and pride and arrogance and all that kind of stuff, it's the root of it, which you have to get to, is sin. And until you deal with the sin, you'll never be free from the symptoms of it. You'll go your whole life chasing a symptom. So we have to be born again because of the systemic sin that we are born in. Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, the word can say it a lot better than I can. Turn to Romans 3 and chapter 9. And we have a few minutes, but I want to introduce this to you, and then next week we'll dive deep into it. And here's Paul. Paul's talking to the Romans. And in verse Romans 3 and 9, if you're there, say amen. Paul's talking to the Romans. He's saying, what then? Are we better than they? He's talking about the Greeks. He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's asking the Romans, are we better than they? Come on now. I'm not as bad as them. Look at them over there. I'm not as bad as them. So Paul answers the question why we need to be saved. He says, no, in no ways. No way are we better than them. For we have before, we've already proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all, underline, they are all under sin. Underline that line. Look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So why do I need to be saved? Because we're all under sin. It's not one righteous, no, not one. You cannot walk around saying you saved yourself. You cannot walk around saying that you have no sin. We're all part of systemic sin. Make a note in Proverbs 24, 9. Let me say it again. Proverbs 24, 9. The word says the thought of foolishness is sin. You can't stand there and tell me you never... Let me take out my glasses so I can see y'all. You can't stand there and tell me you never had a foolish thought. If you had a foolish thought, God, forgive me. What am I even thinking about? In the name of Jesus, forgive me for that thought. And remember, it's not a sin to be tempted. We all get stupid, foolish thoughts, but that's how holy God is. And we're in this system of sin, and we need a Savior. That's why we need to be saved. Make a note, those of you that are taking notes, and I hope that's all of you. S-I-N is in our DNA. Let me say it again. We can't get away from it. That's why we need a Savior. S-I-N is in our DNA. Let me wrap this up, and then we'll pick it up here next week. Let me start back with verse 9, and I'll read to verse 18. What then? Are we better than they? No, not in no way. For we have already proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And that word all means all, each, every, everyone. Everyone is under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understand, there is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. Verse 12, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You're not going to stand before God and tell him how good you are. You're not going to do it. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You've been bitter for a long time for whatever reason. You're not going to stand before God and say you are sin free. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Verse 19, and there is no respect of God before their eyes. So before I ask, what must I do to be saved? I have to know and realize that I do need to be saved and rescued, because there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm going to unpack that next Sunday, and I can't wait. I have so much more to share. Oh, my gosh, what God has shared about why we need to be saved. So we're not out here deceiving and fooling ourselves, thinking we have it all together. Christ is our light. Christ wants to be the light of your life. Everything else allows you, is a benefit of Christ being the light of your life, and allows you to appreciate. I can appreciate so much, my wife, my kids, my family, my job, my business, my ministry, you all, because Christ is the light of my life. It allows me to appreciate, humble myself and appreciate you all with my entire heart, with no strings attached, with no ulterior motives, with no hidden agenda. Why? Because Christ is the light of my life. And I realized when I was 17 that I needed to be saved, because I was in darkness and I was headed nowhere. And my life didn't have meaning or purpose. It was just to kill, steal, and destroy, destruction, pride, ego, arrogance, which leads nowhere. So as we wrap up this message today, please join us Wednesday night, and definitely join us next Sunday, because it's so much more that God wants to share. Within the Good Shepherd, we see that Christ is the light of the world. Go ahead and bow your heads. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. Wow, Lord, we thank you that you are the light of the world. You're the good shepherd, and you're at the same time, you're the good shepherd, you're the light of the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. God, we need you. Let us trust you 100%. Let us run to you and not from you. Let us see you as the light of the world, and that you're only exposing the darkness in our life, Lord. Let us see the benefits of you being the light, and everything can be illuminated that you've given us as a blessing, a temporary blessing, before we transition to paradise with you. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Bless you for your word this morning. We don't want information. We thank you for the revelation, God, that leads to transformation. Let us live an illuminated life in Christ. Thank you for showing us our true purpose and value and worth is not tied to stuff, but it's in you being the light of the world and the light being in us. And we let our light shine because the only thing we take with us to heaven is other people. God, let us be your mouthpieces. Let us be your ambassadors. Oh, we love you, God, and we bless you. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're only righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleansed us when you died on that cross. And then you resurrected on that third day to show us that you have power over death, hell, sin, and the grave. And when we're in you, we have that same power within us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless your people, Lord, to live this word. Bless your people to study Psalms 27 daily, to stand on the light and the salvation and the strength of the Lord. The when, the what, the how, the why, and the wait. Let us wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, God. Thank you for strengthening our heart as we wait. Don't let us fall apart. Don't let us lose it, God. Keep our minds strong. Keep our family strong. Keep our faith in you strong, God. Otherwise, we, just like David said, we would have fainted unless we believed to see, we trusted to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Bless your people, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If I didn't make it plain enough, let me make it as plain as I can now. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. When God looks at your heart, he doesn't see the sin that's in your heart. He just sees his son, Jesus Christ. He said, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Come on up to heaven. God's going to look into your heart. If he looks in your heart and it's only sin there, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. God can't stand to see sin. That's why for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why God sent Jesus Christ, so that we have the opportunity to invite Christ into our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform our life. So when God looks in our heart, he says, oh, that's my son. Come on up. He told us in the word, it's going to be kings there. It's going to be tribes. It's going to be nation. Some of everybody will be in heaven. Some of everybody will repent and ask Christ into their heart. Just make sure that's you. And you have a choice. It's a choice. We have free will. You can say, I don't want to. I'm okay the way I am. Then remember, you got to live with that decision. You're going to die with that decision. You will stand before God with that decision. And I'm telling you, start with researching the results of the resurrection. I don't care what anybody else is saying. You do the research of the resurrection. You find out that it's real, that Jesus Christ resurrected and saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. And so it's just a matter of you saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life and make me the person you created me to be. Let me tie my purpose and my worth and my value to you, God, being the light in me. And then I share that light with others. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me the person that you created me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just uttered that prayer or you just ask Christ to come into your heart without verbally, audibly doing it, that's fine. God's not looking at your lips. God is looking at your heart. And that's between you and God. And so I want to thank you and ask that you would just send an email, and can send you some information on the decision that you just made. Or maybe you rededicated your life. If you like some scriptures or you just like some encouragement as you've rededicated your life, someone to walk with you, send the email to life@southbayalc.com. We'll definitely get you connected and send you some information. So I just want to go ahead and as we close out, I'd like to once again just thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of South Bay Abundant Life live stream. And eventually we will get back to coming together physically, but I don't see that being anytime soon. So we will let you know. It won't be no surprise. You won't show up and we'll be here and you won't. You'll definitely know when we do return. Again, I want to thank you all for your giving. Go to our website, southbayalc.com, and you can go ahead and return your tithe, give an offering, or make a donation. Just thank you so much. I'm just blessed by God as you all are just generous. You're very generous givers, and I thank you as God has blessed you that you'll go ahead and be a blessing to the ministry. Wednesday night Bible study. Please come on, read 2 Samuel chapter 13. It is going to be incredible. I can't wait for all of us to join around Wednesday night, 6:30. Gonna jump right into the word because it is a lot to cover in a little bit of time. It's powerful, it's insightful, it's eye-opening. be prepared, come ready. I can't wait. So it's Bible study Wednesday night at 6:30, and then also, for prayer requests, prayer needs, email us life@southbayalc.com. And then again, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for just being a blessing to this ministry. Thank you for being a blessing in the life of myself and my wife and my family. We appreciate you so much. Take your notes from this morning, meditate on them, look back on them. If you have any questions about anything that was articulated from the pulpit, email me. I'd love to dialogue and we go through the scriptures and go even deeper. God bless you. We love you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night via Zoom and then next Sunday via Zoom live stream. God bless you.